Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
This is 35 verse, going to read from verse 16. Rachel is about to give birth to her last child. Not just, it's going to be her last child, I guess, for a couple of reasons, but what they thought was going to be a great day, an exciting day, came with mixed emotions. It says, as they journeyed from Bethel, they were a little way come to Ephrath. Rachel travailed. She went into labor. She had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass as her soul was in departing, or she died, that she called his name, the son that she birthed, she called his name Ben Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. Today, I just want to preach for a few moments on this thought. I am who God says I am. I am who God says I am. Can we just pray together for the preaching of the word today? Lord, we do love you and honor you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence today. Now for just a little while, Lord, rain down on our hearts. Lord, let the word of God find good ground. Let it help us, encourage us, change us, challenge us, whatever it needs to do to make us encouraged today and to be more like you. Lord, help me for just a little while to feed your people, to be a blessing in this house. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise before you're seated this morning. God's good. God's good. I'm glad that God has the final say. It doesn't mean that change isn't necessary. Some people would say, I'll just stick with Ben Oni. I'm going to tell you why you wouldn't want to do that in just a moment. But and say, I'll just stick with Ben Oni because I know God loves me. Nothing you can do to make him not love you. He'll love you no matter where you are, no matter what you're called by, he's going to love you. And he has the final say in our lives. He will have the final say. It will be him that we stand before in that last day, in that great day, in that judgment day. And it'll be up to God, the judge of the quick and the dead. That's who's going to have the final say. But that doesn't mean that just because God is full of grace and mercy, that there doesn't need to be some changing going on in our life. And so as Rachel is in this day, she begins to feel something is going on. I think probably as a mother, she knew something probably wasn't right. But a day where people were expecting a child to come into the world, always a surprise to them, I think, because most times they didn't have a way to have a sonogram or a 4D picture or 3D picture or whatever it is to let them know what it would be. There's no gender reveals unless the angel of the Lord showed up and told them, yeah, you're going to have a boy. The angels were spoiling that a lot for parents. They were showing up and telling them what they were going to have. But what they thought would be this joyous occasion began to turn. She was in hard labor. And this hard labor began to take her life. Whatever was going on, however, whatever was happening, she was going to depart this world as this child came into the world. The midwife told her, the child will be born. And so as her soul was departing, it said, as she, I don't know what her thoughts were in those final moments. Maybe it was just sadness of heart that I'll never see this child grow. It's this sadness of heart because I'm not going to see the rest of my children or my family or anyone again. And this is my last moments here on earth. And sorrow began to fill her heart. So she names this child accordingly, and she calls him Benoni. But the father said, oh no, I'm going to call him Benjamin. You know, in the world, we want a good name. In Proverbs 22:1, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You know, people put a lot of stock in who you are, and a lot of times that comes, how they identify you is through your name. When you come up to somebody and say, do you know a good mechanic? And immediately a name pops in your head. And you give this person that name, and they, oh, that's right, I know them, I've heard of them, I've heard they're fair, they do good work, you know, they're not outrageous. They won't rip you off, and they know just because of their name, they associate what they've heard about them. So it's good to have, it's better to have a good name than great riches, because if nobody can trust you or trust your name, or they think bad of your name, they want nothing to do with you. Ecclesiastes 7:1 said, a good name is better than precious ointment. You would think about the alabaster box and how they made such a fuss over the expensive the price of the oil, the ointment that was in that alabaster box that Mary broke and anointed the Lord with. And they said, even more than those great precious things that we use, it's better to have a good name. What does that even mean? What do people think about when they hear your name? Shakespeare would write in his play Romeo and Juliet, when they could not come together because one was a Montague and one was a Capulet. And Juliet would say, what's in a name? But the name identified the enemy of her family. It was identity, what people think about when they hear your name. Now, if I say Harrison Ford, but somebody thought Han Solo. Yeah. That's kind of funny. If I say Tiger Woods, and if I say Michael, well, some of y'all went Jordan, some went Jackson. So you could either dunk it or beat it, whichever one you want to do. But immediately, you thought, and see, before I could even say, because I had Jordan and Jackson written down, before you could say either one, but when you think Michael Jordan, basketball. And when you think of Michael Jackson, king of pop, whatever you want to call him, you might think of a glove, red jacket, Thriller, I don't know, you know, whatever you would listen to, Moonwalk, but a lot of things come to your mind. Your name will always be attached to your life. It's like that. And it's a little different in this world today, but in the world, we're labeled. Social media has invented tagging. Now we're tagged. Our name is tagged in situations and things and stuff. Oftentimes we don't want to be tagged in. And then we're labeled because of what our past has done to us. Maybe it's the choices that we have made. Maybe it's the things that we have done that now identify with our name. I mean, if I were to say Charles Manson, you know, not a very good, not a lot of good thoughts come to your mind with that. Not any good thoughts come with that. But, you know, God loves him. But he is who he is because of the choices, the things that he has done, and the world knows that. It's been publicized. It's been stuck with him. And so combined with our actions, combined with our memories, the memories of others, we often only see ourselves as our shortcomings. We only see ourselves as our failures. We don't think about the good things that are in our life. We think about the bad that we have done. Labels and tags. And that's how we or the world identifies us. But in Scripture, it's a little different. You know, people today, you know, naming children is a big thing now. You know, it's always used to be pretty easy. You're going to name him after a relative. But now people are searching for names. Let me get whatever name I can, you know, is there names that you've never heard of, names you can't even pronounce sometimes, but they look for a meaning. And that's what they're going with. I mean, I saw a kid, no lie, yesterday, and that his name is Melchizedek. He would be male to me. I'm not calling Melchizedek. I don't know what you get in this house right now. No, it's male. You know, but no doubt his parents understand the meaning of that name, and they named him most likely to honor the child and to give honor unto the Lord, you know. And so we see people doing that now. They choose names based on meaning. But that was the norm in scriptural days. If you read your Bible, the names, they all have a meaning. And they were named that for a reason, because of a situation, a circumstance, just as Benjamin was named. And when people saw this person and they heard, what's his name? When they heard that name, immediately they understood the meaning of the name, and that stood out to them. And the child would grow and he would live knowing that his or her name meant why they were named like that. It was what my name means is broadcasting a reason, a purpose in my life. And if his name meant bad kid, no matter where he went, no matter how many people he helped across the street, no matter how many groceries he carried home, when they heard his name, bad kid. And people that didn't know him would say, well, there's a reason they named him that. Stay away from him, bad kid. He was labeled. That's what people heard, and that's what he lived with. It's the same with us. Once our name is associated with something, it's very hard in the natural to erase people's memories or their thoughts toward us. But I am so glad today that just like Benjamin's father had the power to override, she was the mother. She was the one that carried him. She was the one that would birth him into this world. But the father had the power to override and change the name of this child. And I'm glad today that I am who God says I am. And it doesn't matter what people remember about, because I've been out of the world for a while now, so ain't many people left or even got much memory that could remember who I was back then. Thank God. But friend, let me tell you, when I first come into this, when I first got into the church, and people thought, well, it's just a fad, and you are going to church, I partied with you. I hung out with you. I saw you win. I went to jail with you. I know who you are. It's hard for them to dissociate that. You just have to start living that new life and living by that new name that the Father has given you. And in a time of great distress and sorrow, Rachel cries out in her last dying act, and she names her child, this little innocent baby boy, Benoni, which means the son of my sorrow. Whew, who wants that? Happy birthday, son of my sorrow. Every time you hear your name, just think about your mother passing away. Just think about how what should have been a great day was filled with sorrow because we had to bury your mother. Who wants to live with that the rest of your life? No matter what he would have done or how great that he would be, he would still always be the son of his mother's sorrow. It was not his choice. He didn't desire that name. He had no say in that naming. She died, and she would never see if he would live long enough to prove her wrong, that he would have actually been a great joy to have in her life. You know, the scripture says that we're kind of under that same thing. We didn't really have a choice. Because of the first Adam, it says, by the disobedience of one man, many, or actually all that would follow after, are sinners. Wait a second. I didn't take a bite of that fruit. I didn't have a conversation and break God's word in the garden. Why me? Oh, I'm glad the Father's got a plan. The father, Jacob, Benjamin's father, he had a different plan for his son. You're not going to be stuck with that label. Mm-mm. He heard and he knew and he loved. We know that Jacob loved Rachel. He loved her. But honey, I can't let you do that to our son. This is not his fault, so I'm going to change it. This is not who you are, and this is not who you will be remembered as. You're not going to carry that label around your neck forever. I'm not going to have people hollering out Benoni, reminding you and me that we have lost somebody that we loved very much. So the father said, I'm going to call him Benjamin, the son of my right hand. He said, we're going to be close. When you or anybody else hears your name, I want them to know that you are special to your father. So I'm changing it. I removed the label that would have followed you all the way to the grave and gave you a new name. You better be glad today that the father's got the power to remove the label, that the father's got the power to give you a new name. Come on, somebody. We ought to be celebrating today that, woo, I'm glad I can get out from under who I used to be. I know who I was, and I know where I was, but I know where I am today. I remember the day, oh, that I travailed, and I remember the day that I sought God, and I remember the day that he said, you'll no longer be going by that name, but you'll be going by my name. Oh, God can change it. He's the name changer. He's a name changer. He's a game changer. Come on, somebody. Life gets better. Life gets different. Don't you know that when, I don't know if he ever told Benjamin, by the way, you could have been Benoni. What? Yeah, but I called you Benjamin. Thank you, Father. It's just like my dad wanted to name me Roscoe. No lie, is it? I ain't lying, am I? Thank goodness for my mother. Oh, you've been listening to Pastor Roscoe up here. Pastor Roscoe, not P. Coltrane, but well, you no, but Roscoe Walden preaching the word. Yeah, and my wife was almost Natrice. I'm glad that parents, some at least one parent had a brain cell left and said, no, that's not going to happen. I still would have married you, though. Roscoe and Atrice forever. I know that's going to be a hashtag somewhere. I can see it now. I'm going to be tagged in that. Oh, I shouldn't have said it. Oh, we thank God right now that we have a father. He could change that name. He could change that circumstance. You know, there was another situation in Scripture very similar to this. The days of Eli, his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they had taken the ark and they'd gone out to battle. And Israel was defeated in that battle and the Philistines took the ark, which is the glory of God. And Eli sat by the gate waiting to hear word and a runner came and told him, said, Israel's fled before the enemies. Your sons are dead, and the ark of the Lord is gone. And said, Eli fell off of his seat, and because he was old and fragile, and says he was a large man, he fell off. It said it broke his neck. But his daughter-in-law was, when she heard what was going on, she went into labor. and she was having hard labor. And when they came and told her that the ark was gone, that her husband was dead, she named this boy Ichabod, which means no glory, no honor. And he had no father to intervene. And so he was stuck with a name that when anybody saw him, they were reminded, this is the day that Israel lost. And his father was, his dad was not a good man. And they mistreated the house of God and the people of God. And so his dad was not a good name, a good man anyway. But now he had to be reminded every time someone asked his name, I'm Ichabod. Oh, man, what happened in your life that you would be called that? But Jacob, as he saw his wife leaving this world and naming that child, I'm sure something came to his mind because Jacob knew something about name changes. In Genesis 27 and 36, his brother Esau called him out on his name. If you'll put that up there, Genesis. This is Esau talking because Jacob had stolen his birthright and taken his blessing away. He disguised himself, came into his father and pretended to be Esau. He took, because Esau was the firstborn, he took his birthright away from him. And so Esau, he's so upset. He said, is he not rightly named Jacob? Because he has supplanted me two times. He took away my birthright. Now he has taken away my blessing. And he was talking to his father. He said, have you reserved a blessing for me? But he said, you named him Jacob. That's right. He's a traitor. He's a schemer. He's a thief. He stole my birthright. He stole my blessing. And he is rightly named Jacob. But in five chapters later, Jacob finds himself in a wrestling match. And he is wrestling with the Lord. And he said, the angel of the Lord kept telling him, said, let me go. And he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I want a blessing. And so the angel of the Lord told him, said, your name is not going to be called Jacob anymore, but Israel. For as a prince, you have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. Israel, the name of God's people, Israel. He was Jacob the supplanter till the father got involved. The father got involved. And when he said, I'm tired of being Jacob. I'm tired of everybody looking at me as the schemer, the supplanter. I'm tired of living by tricks of the trade. I'm tired of who I am. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I think it's about time that people finally realize I'm tired of going by who I've always been. I'm tired of every time somebody sees me that all they think about is what I did wrong. But I'm going to get a hold of God, and I'm not going to let go till I feel a change in my life. I'm not going to let go till I know that God has done something inside of me. And friend, he didn't just do something inside of Jacob. He said, I'm going to change your name. Nobody will call you the supplanter anymore, but you'll be one who has prevailed with God. Woo! You better come on, somebody. I'm glad that God can change the name. I'm glad that God can look past my faults and see exactly what I need. I'm glad that he knows today that no matter what I have done, he's able to step in. No matter what the world wants to call me, an addict, a failure, come on, a thief, a liar, a fighter, a drunk, come on, an abuser, whatever it is. And God says, I'm going to change their name. And when I put my name on them, when I bring them into my family, when I make them part of me, when they become my child, oh, nobody's going to be worried. They might remember what they did. Hey, honey, Esau didn't forget what Jacob done, but now the favor of the Lord was on him. That's what God does for his people. God will take care of his people. In Isaiah chapter 62, Isaiah had been writing about the Messiah, the things that he had the power, the authority to do, beauty for ashes, opening up prison doors, giving us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So they could be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. He's writing about what God's doing for his people and what he would do on this earth. But then in chapter 62, he said, for Zion, that's his people, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof goeth forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burns. And the Gentiles, that's us, the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all thy kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name. A lot of people that's witnessed the fall of Israel, they had witnessed God's people going into captivity. They saw how God had, because of their disobedience, how he had chastised them and corrected them. And they understood, you know, that Israel had become a proverb to many people, and that they had failed their God and that God had left them. But God said, something's about to change. I'm going to call you by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord, the Father, shall name. God said, I got a new name for you. You will also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You will no more be termed forsaken, and neither shall your land any more be termed desolate. I'm going to take them names and labels off of you. But you will be called Hephzibah, and your land shall be called Beulah, for the Lord delights in you, and thy land shall be married. Hephzibah means that my delight and my pleasure is in my people. Woo! He said, you're not going to be forsaken. Nobody's going to call you forsaken anymore. They're going to know that I delight in my people. You'll be Hephzibah. And your land will be called Beulah, which means you have a husband. You have, you're not unmarried. You're not untethered. You have connection. You've got something going on in your life that's good. No more forsaken and no more desolate. That's what God does with his people. When the world labels you forsaken, God says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Woo! Oh, and when people say, well, you're just desolate, God said, I build the desolate and the waste places. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, God's got the power today to give you a name change. It doesn't matter what they label you. You are who God says you are. And when God sees you and knows that your heart's turning toward him, man, he's there with open arms. In the story of the prodigal son, the son went out from the father and he lost his identity. He lost it to the world and he lost it to himself. For he said, I will go be a servant in my father's house. But when he came down that road and the father looked up and saw him, he ran out to meet him and he fell upon him and he laid over on his neck and he wept on him and he said, Father, I have sinned in your sight and I'm not worthy to be your son anymore, but I'll be as a servant. He said, you can stop that foolish talking right now. I'm going to change all of that. You are my son. You are who I say you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what people know about you. I know your brother's upset because he's kept tabs on you. The older brother kept tabs on him. Don't you know he has ruined your name? He's wasted. Run around with harlots and lived riotlessly and drunk and all kind of things. And you're going to just have a party for him when he gets back. Yeah, the older brother was good at keeping tabs on who he was. And he couldn't even celebrate when the father said, my son that was dead is alive again. He's back in the house. Let me tell you, it's time for you to let God put his name on your life. It's time for you to let God put his anointing on your life. Woo! Come on, somebody. Aren't you tired of living by your past? Aren't you tired of living under the labels of what this world knows about you? because everybody knows your deep, dark secrets. Everybody knows how you failed. Why don't you stand up and bless God and let the world see you with your hands lifted up saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. You are who God says you are. And the world can't change your name. They ain't got the power to change your name. Come on, somebody. Somebody be hearing me in this house today. You feel like you'll never get out from under the cloud of who you were. But God's here today to tell you, I'll roll the clouds away. That's what God will do. Thank you, Jesus. I've said it already. We were born, it says, into sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. He said there's not even anybody seeking God. But we were born under that sin, under that curse. And you know what? We were not God's chosen people, but we were his creation. And God loves his creation. He had a chosen people, but he loved the world. Even in the days of his people, his grace would touch people's lives. Before there was ever an Israel, his grace saved Noah. Yeah? Yeah. Before it was ever his people, it was his grace and goodness and mercy that called Abraham out of his land. It was God's grace and his mercy that saved Rahab and her family. It was God's grace and mercy that got Lot out of Sodom. Come on, somebody. God is good. He loves his people. He chose a people, but we're his creation. We grew up living our life, making our choices, not doing a very good job at it. Our reputations became known to our friends and family. On a Friday night, I could pull into town, into the parking lot where we all hung out at. And it'd be kids that would come to me and say, hey, we heard you could, you're Ed, right? That's me. We heard you knew the guy at that store and you could get us something to drink. We ain't old enough to buy it. I said, yeah, that's me. They knew how to find me. By my name. My reputation preceded me. People knew a lot of bad things about me. That's that mean guy. That's that guy that gets in fights all the time. Don't get around him. He might just hit you just because. And that was a pretty good chance of that. That's just the way I lived. But you know, even if we were good kids, still sinners. But the Father had other plans. Because let me tell you, he broke right into the middle of my life when I didn't have nothing left to offer. I was drinking every day. I was discouraged about the direction my life was going in, and I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know how to stop it. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know how much longer I would live, if I would end up in jail. I didn't know what was going to go on in my life. I was depressed over it. So I drank more. But the Father had other plans. And right in the middle of my wild living, there wasn't no lull in it. I hadn't slowed down any. He just said, I'm going to step right into the middle of your mess and talk to you and offer you something and let you know that there's a better way to live. And then it'll be up to you what you do with that. And friend, that plan that the Father had from the foundation of the world. He said, let me tell you about the Lamb of God. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from every sin. Let me tell you about what he can do when he comes into your life. He can make all things new. He knows where you've been, and he knows what you've done, and he's got the power to change it. This world that birthed you has named you, but I got a new name. I could change all of that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, Paul's writing to the church. He's not writing to somebody out under the bridge. He's reminding people who are in church, because sometimes we need to look back and remember what God's done. He said, don't you know that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Not thieves, not covetous, not drunkards, no revilers, nor extortioners. None of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. Woo! That's what we were. On our best day, we could not erase the sin and the wrong that was in our life. You couldn't find soap. Lava soap won't get it off of you. There ain't no soap or water, any amount of good deeds that you can do to change it, but Jesus could. And in verse 11 it says, and such were some of you. My goodness, what a beautiful piece of scripture. And such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, and you are justified in the name. Thank God for the name. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And such were some of you. But now, oh, something's different. That's who you were in the world. That's who you were when you were doing your own thing. But when you came to the Lord and you were washed, honey, you were sanctified and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. John said in 1 John 1 and 7, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You ain't done nothing so wrong that Jesus can't fix it. You hear? You can be hard on yourself, but the Lord will tell you, there ain't nothing you've done. Ain't nowhere you've been. Ain't nothing happened so wrong that I can't fix it, that I can't take care of it. It ain't so dirty that I can't clean it. I'm telling you, God is able today. There ain't no cleansing like the blood of Jesus. There ain't no cleansing like the blood of Jesus. Come on, somebody. It will never lose its power. It takes every stain out. You know what a stain is? You know what a stain is? It's a memory. I got shirts at home that's got spaghetti sauce stains on them. I ain't throwing away. It's just broke in. It's comfortable. But I can look down and go, I remember eating that. Barbecue sauce, well, I remember that. I remember that stain. But you know what the blood of Jesus do? It'll get in that mind. And them stains, them memories, he'll start cleansing. Don't be thinking about that anymore. Don't be worrying about that anymore, because his blood takes the stain away. It can wash your mind. It can wash your heart. And all you can see is living for God. All you can see is living for the King. All you can see is living with a new name. That's what he does. The scripture says we were not redeemed by corruptible things like silver or gold, but we were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. God, it says in the book of Acts, purchased us with his own blood. The blood is a name changer. The blood is a game changer, because it's only applied in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Woo! Somebody ought to clap your hands to the Lord in this place right now. I'm going to help you. Peter, he knew about getting some name changes too. The Lord told him, said, I'm going to call you Cephas, a stone. He knew about it. Peter began to write this in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Remember how cool this is. We were not God's chosen, but we were his creation. But when he gets involved, it changes us. And now we are his chosen. Peter said, but you are a chosen generation. The Lord said, I'm going to choose to change your name. I had put my name on my people, my chosen people on Israel, but now I'm going to put my name on these Gentiles. I'm going to put my name on all of them. I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh. The spirit comes in his name. Hello? I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh. And the spirit, it's the spirit of adoption. That means we become his. So we're not our own anymore. We belong to him. We've been bought with a price. Our body and our spirit, we glorify him in it because it's not our own. We belong to him. We are Christ. We were not redeemed by those things. Peter says, you are a chosen generation, royal priesthood. You ever look at yourself in the mirror and go, royalty? I ain't talking about going slay queen. No. I'm talking about you ever look and think, I'm a child of the King. I belong to the King. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has purchased me with his blood. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has sealed me with his name. Hear what I'm talking about today. You are chosen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Things you never thought of yourself as before, that's what you can become when he gets involved. Because what he says about you, you are who he says you are. And maybe you thought, let me tell you, I was far from holy. But I can't deny, I'm not holy within myself. Oh no, it's only through him. But that never happens without him. A peculiar people. Peculiar. Because he didn't find us in the best places. He found us in the worst. He didn't go recruiting the biggest ones and the best ones and the most handsome. You know, they tried that stuff when David was anointed king. He brought all the brothers out, and as soon as the prophet saw the first one, he said, surely. I don't know what this dude looked like, but he must have been stunning. Because the prophet's like, whoa, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Nah. Keep moving. And he kept moving. And he kept moving. He said, all right, we're out of people. Where are they at? Oh, we got a little stinky brother over on the other side of the field keeping the sheep right now. Yeah, go get him. Because that's who God wants. That's pretty peculiar, Samuel. Yeah, but it's what God wants. He wants the one that was hooked on the drug. He wants the one that was addicted to the alcohol. He wants the one that was sleeping in the back alley. He wants the worst of us. He finds us in the dust and in the dunghill. He finds us in those places that nobody wants to go. And then he turns us into something beautiful because he changes our name. And it doesn't matter what the world remembers about us anymore. When God gets a hold to you and begins to wash you in his blood and fill you with his spirit, now you are who God says you are. And he said, we are a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I got a place for you. It's time to come out of the darkness. All that darkness that's been going on in your life, it's time to let the light of God shine. It's time for you to come out. Today, if you will hear it, the Spirit of the Lord is saying, come out of that darkness. It's time to get out from under those labels. It's time to get out from under those tags. It's time to get out from under that trouble. Come on, somebody. You better hear what the Lord's saying today. I can get you out of addiction. I can get you out of prisons. I can get you out of the jail that you've made in your mind. You've locked yourself into a certain place. But God's here to shake the foundation of your very soul and say, come unto me. Whosoever will, let him come. Take the water of life freely. Come get this spirit. Praise God. He said that. Now he says, let me help you appreciate that verse 9. Because when you see the contrast, you'll start, ooh, thank God. Because in times past, you were not a people. Wait a second now, flesh and blood of it. But he said, in everybody else's eyes, you weren't even a people. You just took up space. You were not a people. But now, You are the people of God. Now, you are the people of God. We had not ever attained mercy, but now God's mercy is new to us every morning. Woo! We were nobody. We had no hope in this world. We were not a people. But now we are the people of God. Now, according to Romans 12, don't worry about these scriptures, sis. I didn't give you these. But now, according to Romans 12 and 5, we are the body of Christ. Revelation 21 and 9, we are the bride. Isaiah 40 and 11, we're God's flock. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, God's building. Ephesians 2 and 22, the habitation of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16, we are the temple of God. Acts 5 and 14 says we are believers. 1 Corinthians 15:58, we are the beloved brethren. We are, according to Matthew 5 and 9, the children of God. Deuteronomy 7 and 6, the chosen ones. We are Christians, dear children, the elect, heirs, light of the world, salt of the earth. Come on. We are the ransomed of the Lord. We are righteous, redeemed, purchased, trees of righteousness, vessels of honor and mercy. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Woo! But that didn't happen on your own. You didn't do it. God did it. Because he said, I can take what you were and I can turn you into something that you want to be. I can make you mine. I can wash you. You can go from were to are. Such were some of you, but now you are washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I heard Brother Wayne Huntley say this one time. Your past is pardoned. Your present is powerful, and your future is promised. God has erased your past, changed your present, and gives you a future. That's what God does. That's what God does. Aren't you thankful for him right now? Come on, somebody. Are you hearing me? It ain't just for a select few, but I'm telling you, this is for whosoever will. In the New Testament, there's no greater writer than the Apostle Paul, but when you read his story, you are introduced to him as Saul of Tarsus. Now, Saul's name is pretty awesome. Saul means dedicated to God. Well, he must be a good fella. Hardly. He said, I was very zealous, even more zealous than those that were older than me in the traditions of my fathers. And he said, and I persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. But he thought he was doing God a favor. He just didn't know. He did it in his ignorance. And so Saul, which means dedicated to God, he was really a persecutor. But then God meets him, has a conversation with him. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you? Lord, I'm Jesus of Nazareth that you persecute. And from that point on, God had a plan. And Ananias came and prayed for him. And the scales fell off his eyes and he received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he said, why are you tarrying? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. That's that. But now you are washed and now you are sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. New birth, born of water, born of spirit. And now we find his name is Paul, the Apostle Paul. You know what Paul means? Little. Little Paul. It means little. Now he's a preacher, evangelist, missionary, pastor, starting churches, bishop, writing letters. And Paul would say, by the grace of God, no matter what anybody else thinks about me, they can remember what I've done. Maybe some of these people I'm preaching to, I might have locked their family up. I might have locked them up. And no matter what they remember about me, I am who I am by the grace of God. God has made me who I am. Paul was little, but maybe it's just applying the scripture. I must decrease. He must increase. all said, I can't be all lifted up and going around telling everybody how dedicated to God I am. So I became little. He would say, I'm the least of the apostles, I'm the chiefest of sinners. His humility is what exalted him. He became little. He decreased so God could increase. You can stand with me. The Apostle Paul, this little evangelist, he wrote this in the book of Colossians, chapter 2. He's addressing the church again. So these things were not written to us, but they were written for us. Because we can get a change that so we can apply it to our life. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. There were things going on that were written, things that were against us, they were contrary to us, things about us, things about our past, things about what we had done, things about what we thought about, things about what we said, things about the people we hurt, things about the people who hurt us, the labels, the tags, the names, all those things. It says he took it out of the way and he nailed it to his cross. That's where it went to die. The cross is where your labels go to die. The cross is where your labels go to die. The cross is where you find mercy. The cross is where you find his forgiveness. It's where you find his grace. The cross is where the all-cleansing blood of Jesus flows down on us. He nailed it to his cross. You don't have to go back and take that down. I've said this many times, people get comfortable in their labels, in their titles, and in their name. They get comfortable because when you get this new name, it's a new life. Walking, he said, in the newness of life. We don't know what we're doing. That's why we follow him. Why he said, follow me. I'll order my steps in my word. I'll order those steps, so follow me. He's already done what he needed to do. And now he just asks us to take part of it. To just take it. I read to you what Paul said, that those people that were on that horrible list, such were some of you, but now you are washed. Now you are sanctified. And now you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So what's that mean? How do I get to be like that? You obey the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was first poured out on man, when the Jewish nation, when they were convicted in their hearts, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. That's the death. That's where you find a place to say, I'm tired of the life that I've been living. I'm tired of doing things that are displeasing to you, God. And I'm sorry for that. And I want to walk in your ways, and I will do my best. I will do my best to turn my life and walk in the way that you want me to walk. But then he said we need to be baptized, buried. We're buried with him, the scripture says, in baptism. Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. How do we get that name changed? We've got to have the name applied. Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's where the blood's applied. It says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And when Jesus shed his blood, it's applied when we're buried in his name. And all that old sin, that past, those stains that we can't get rid of, when you come up out of that water, it's like day one. Really. People will see you and say, oh, I know you. You still look the same. Yeah, but I ain't the same. Because a new name's been given to me. And then he said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's God's Spirit. That's the Spirit of adoption. For the promise is unto you. That's what I love. That the promise is unto you, no matter where you are. Not in a good place, preacher. The promise is unto you. He didn't designate a place. He didn't say the promise is unto all you sitting on the front row and spit shine for church. He said the promise is unto you. It's like a voice going out into the world. It's unto you on the bar stool. It's unto you in the crack house. It's unto you in the back alley. It's unto you in the prison. It doesn't matter. It's unto you, for the promise is unto you, and it's to your children and all who are far off. They may be far away from God, but the promise is still for you to bring you closer. Even as many, this is the important part, as the Lord our God shall call. Because you are who he says you are. And it's God that gives the call. We're simply echoing what's been preached. There's nothing new. We're just an echo of what's already been preached. But the echo is still full of power. It's not just tinkling brass and sound and cymbal. That promise is still powerful. And it still works today. And if you're finally got, maybe you've gotten like Jacob, I'm tired of carrying this stuff around. I'm going to talk to God until I get my blessing. I'm going to pray until I pray through. And if let me tell you, and if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that died for your sins and rose from the dead, if you believe that today, the scripture says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Yep. And if you need to be baptized in Jesus' name today, let's do it. We've got towels, we've got robes. Ain't no reason to leave here today without a name change. God is able to do it today. No matter what this world calls you, from that point on, you are who God says you are.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.